Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well and welcome back to Voice Notes. Don't know why I'm hitting my chair so much. I'm enthusiastic. Welcome to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. So sorry. I had someone complain that I shout too much in one of the comment sections, and now I'm literally like, okay, I actually need to think about the poor people that are listening with headphones. How are you doing today? I'm looking pretty good. I mean, I desperately need to get my roots done, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those expenses because it's been so long. Like, I don't think my roots have been this long since lockdown. First of all, it truly doesn't look that bad. I mean, maybe some of you guys would disagree, but it really does not look that bad. And if for anyone that's listening, I have like very dark brown roots, like a few inches, like there's a lot. But like, it's a big expense getting your hair done. It's a big faff. And I'm also coming to you guys with a little bit of a rogue outfit today. So I'm wearing this very cute t-shirt that I got off Vinted. I think it's originally IMGR. I'm wearing a black denim maxi skirt and my Adidas Superstars that I got off Vinted for 30 quid, black ones. And so originally the outfit idea, so it's very awkward weather to dress right now. The weather is like, It's warm, but it's raining, but also sometimes it's sunny. I literally got caught in what I can only describe as a flash flood. As a flash flood, guys. Yesterday, me and Lem went to Shoreditch, went to this restaurant called Smokestack. That was so good, by the way. Like, very highly recommend. I had a pulled pork bun. Lem had pork belly ribs. Like, it was so good. And we're walking back, lovely day, holding hands, so romantic, on our date, la-di-da, jump on the overground. And then as soon as we get to our stop, like, all I can say was the heavens opened and I have not seen rain that heavy in a really long time. So we stood in the station for a while until it sort of passed a little bit, but it was crazy. So yeah, it's that kind of weather where like, it's not warm enough to just dress in your summer clothes yet, despite the fact that it's May, but it's like wet, rainy, gloomy, but it's also like 20 degrees. So it's like, what do I actually wear? And originally I was gonna wear like a white skirt with this, but you know when something is so much better in your head and it just doesn't go together. So I put this skirt on and it's really comfortable because it's a little bit too big, because a lot of my clothes are just way too small for me right now because I've gained some weight recently, and all my clothes are like, I'm literally growing out of all of my clothes. So I need to like buy, it's annoying, I need to buy more clothes even though like I'm on a non-overconsumption journey, but I literally have to buy clothes out of necessity because I'm growing out of them. But this skirt is like one of the only like denim things that fits me right now. I don't own a single pair of jeans because I've grown out of all of them. And so I was like, put it on. I was like, you know what? It's actually working. Like, I'm having a lot of fun. Sorry, Boots is going crazy right now. I'm having a lot of fun with my fashion right now. Like, a lot of fun. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And also, I had to dress wear. So my tan did not... Boots, can you calm down? Stop it. Okay, sorry, guys. So my tan... I'm having one of those days where I didn't really have time to scrub my tan off. And then when it was due for me to do it again, it was too much tan to be able to redo a fake tan. So I have to wear an outfit where my like chest isn't out because you'll be able to see that I don't have my fake tans like really patchy. Sorry, you guys don't care about this. But just before we get into it, I thought I would do like a little... what do you call it? Like, instead of like the TV show I'm watching, book I'm reading, song I'm listening to, because that hasn't really changed since last week, I thought I would do two recommendations of the week, which are TV shows actually, because they're so good. So the first one that I'm watching is Candy on Hulu. So basically, I discovered this show because on HBO, there is a show called Love and Death, I think it's called. It's got Elizabeth Olsen, Jesse Plemons in it, and basically it's based off the real true crime story of this woman called Candy Montgomery, and she basically murdered her lover's, so she was having an affair, her lover's wife, and then in court pleaded that it was self-defense. And it's basically about the affair, the circumstances, all that. And that came out, and I saw someone posted a side-by-side of the different scenes in Candy, which only came out a year prior. And this case happened in the 70s. And I was just so, like, taken with, like, I was like, I really want to watch that. And because I hadn't heard anything about it, I wasn't expecting it to be very good. I was just watching it because I'd never heard of the case before, and I was, like, quite interested in it. And I don't really consume a lot of true crime content anymore, because I used to watch so much true crime stuff. But, like, it was actually, like, a bit much, like, for my brain. So I haven't really consumed any true crime stuff in a while, but I was, like, really interested. And the acting looked really good and whatever. So I decided to watch it, thinking that it wasn't going to be, like, I thought it was going to be average. I didn't think it was going to be, like, amazing or really bad. I just thought it was going to be, like, quite mediocre. I am genuinely blown away with how good this show is. It's got Jessica Biel in it, who I only know Jessica Biel because she was married to Mr. Peanut Butter. Like, that's the only way that I know Jessica Biel. Incredible actress, really, really incredible. And also, it's got, her name's Melanie, I think it's Linsky, maybe. I don't know whether I've got that wrong, but she is, she was in The Last of Us, and she's in 2 and a Half Men. And she is an incredible actress. Like, I am actually a little bit obsessed with her. And it's also got Pablo Schreiber, I think his name is. He was in Orange is the New Black. He was so slimy and horrible in Orange is the New Black. But in this show, guys, like, hear me out, okay? Like, he's hot, like, say it! And yeah, no, it's just a really, really good show. Like, I'm really blown away by the production value. So funny. Justin Timberlake just plays a cop in it, and it's so funny, because I'm literally like, Justin Timberlake is just so well recognized that it ever so slightly takes you out of it. It's not like takes you out of it so much that you're like, oh my God, this isn't enjoyable. Like, it is enjoyable. It was just funny, because I was like, Justin Timberlake just has one of those faces where it's like, that's Justin Timberlake. Like Jessica Biel disappeared into her role, all right? And then I was like, wait, is that Justin Timberlake? But it's a really, really incredible show. And to be fair, I'm only on episode 4 out of 5. My opinions on it are going to change based on how they handle the last episode and Candy's self-defense. Like, whether they're going to say, oh, that this definitively happened, or whether they're going to say that it's like, well, it's up to you whether you believe that it's self-defense or not. I feel like if they say something like, oh, this is definitively what happened, then it will go down a lot in my ranks, because, like, it'll be really, really annoying if they go down that route, because then it's like, you've just, this entire woman's life who has been murdered, the woman that Candy Montgomery murdered, is Betty Gore, is just going to be whittled down to, like, it was self-defense, even though, like, it absolutely was not. I'm not going to get into it. You guys should go and watch the show. I will get back to you in a couple of weeks when I watch the final episode. And the next show I'm watching is Looking on HBO. I love it. It's only got 2 seasons. It's basically about, like, this group of gay friends, basically. Literally me and my friends. It was funny because Len was like, who's who out of your friends? And I was like, But it's mostly about gay male friendships. And it's almost like, the only way that I can describe it is like Girls on HBO, but for gay men. Like, that's the only way that I can describe it, but it is really good. Like, I am really enjoying it. I've only watched a couple of episodes so far, but I saw it on Twitter. Like, that's how I saw it on Twitter. And I saw someone tweeted, like, I was in the trenches trying to defend this show when it came out. And I was like, oh, do people not like it? So yeah, it has one of those things. It has seriously unlikable protagonist. Just have to get that out there, guys. A seriously unlikable protagonist. Unlikable? Yeah, that's, you know when you say a word and it doesn't sound like a real word? So yeah, no, what are we actually going to be talking about on Voice Sense with Dawn Teresa today? I don't want to speak too soon, but I could say that this is one of the best episodes I have ever recorded. I mean, I haven't done it yet, but I feel like it's going to be. So today we are going to be talking about everything fan fiction, okay? I don't know whether I've shared this information on this podcast before, but I was an avid fan fiction reader from the age of like 11 or 12 all the way up to like 20, 21. And the only reason I don't read it anymore is because my tastes got too good. But no, it's mostly got to do with the fact that there aren't that many fandoms that I am so invested in that I would want to read fan fiction, if that makes sense. I think the thing is with fan fiction, well, I mean, I guess we'll get into it, but like, I think with fan fiction, it thrives most in medias that have good sort of world building aspects, if that makes sense. So fandoms like Harry Potter, The Walking Dead, where like it's not only are the characters really like enthralling, but also like the world around it itself. And obviously, I just want to disclaim very quickly here that I will be talking about Harry Potter in this episode, but obviously, I do not support J.K. Rowling. I feel like it's a given, like you guys know me. But also, just for anyone that's new here, I don't want to encourage people after this episode to start, you know, oh, I'm going to watch the Harry Potter films on Netflix. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go to Universal. I mean, I doubt that anyone would want to go to Universal Studios after listening to this episode. But like, do you know what I mean? I don't, like, you can engage in Harry Potter media, but do it in a way where you won't be lining J.K. Rowling's pockets, because she is genuinely a horrible, lowest of the low person. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. Like, there isn't even words in the English dictionary to explain how much of a morally reprehensible, disgusting human being that she is. I mean, she literally just endorsed Posey Parker, who is actually friends with Nazis. So, like, she's not a good person. Just want to get that out there. If you do want to engage in Harry Potter media, use your old DVDs if you've got them lying around. Buy DVDs secondhand, buy books secondhand, read fan fiction because that's not going to go into her pocket. You know, use, not trying to endorse illegal behavior, but maybe use some specific websites. Like, I don't know. I mean, I mean, you guys can use webs, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but yeah. Just want to make that very clear because I will be talking about that. But I feel like a lot of anything online to do with fan fiction, and I also do this too. Me and my friend Jack just filmed a video on his channel reading bad Wattpad fan fiction, and it was so much fun. I'm not saying here that like, oh, all like, you know, you guys can't take the piss out of bad fan fiction, da 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 da, because like, bitch, I fucking do that. But like, well, I feel like there's, I'm coming at the middle here because on one end, I'm not going to sit here and praise fan fiction the entire time because fan fiction has its bad moments. But also, I do genuinely feel like this podcast episode is coming from a place of love because fan fiction played a really, really big part in my teenage years. And I have a very, very big place in my heart for it. And I hope that that comes across in this episode. So just before we get into it, I would love to thank today's first sponsor of the podcast, which is Athletic Greens. Sorry, I'm just getting the script up on my phone, guys. Don't mind me. You guys know how it is, right? With when you record a sponsor for podcast episode, it's very different to YouTube because you want to keep the ball rolling, keep it flowing. But just because I'm reading off a script, I know I say this every single time, does not take away from the fact that I like what I'm talking about. So I wanted to give AG1 a try because not only do I really dislike taking vitamins, they always get stuck in my throat, leave a funny taste in my mouth. And because of this, there's a lot of hassle with lots of different ones. I will literally procrastinate from taking my vitamins. Like, I wish that my ADHD wasn't that deep, but it actually is. But I still want to get all my vitamins in because I want to help my energy levels, nourish my body and support my immune system. I drink AG1 every lunchtime to give myself some extra energy for the rest of the day and to make sure my body is getting all the nutrients it needs and deserves. And it saves me so much time faffing around with different vitamins, which I end up procrastinating from taking because of my ADHD. With AG1, it's just one scoop in a glass of water once a day. AG1 is the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. Every scoop of the AG1 all-in-one formula is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients of the highest quality, which provide a range of benefits such as gut and mood support, energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/voicenotes. That's athleticgreens.com/voicenotes. Check it out. Thank you so much, Athletic Greens, for sponsoring that portion of the episode. And let's actually get into it, guys. So I just want to say, once again, welcome to Voice Notes with Jawn Teresa, where I, YouTube extraordinaire Jawn Teresa, chats all things my life, internet trends, pop culture, reality TV, and so much more. I think I forgot about the politics part. Also some politics sometimes. And today we are chatting everything fan fiction, the good, the bad, and the very cringe. Sorry, I'm actually really out of breath. It's because I'm so enthusiastic about this episode. So the first thing I wanted to talk about with this episode is I wanted to talk about the origins of fan fiction, right? So the Oxford Dictionary defines fan fiction as fiction written by a fan of and featuring characters from a particular TV series, film, etc. So I feel like that kind of covers it. The way that I view fan fiction is I think fan fiction is literally writing fiction about something or someone that already exists. So it can be about a TV show like The Walking Dead. It can be about a book or a movie like Harry Potter. It can be about an anime like One Piece. It can be, I don't know why I'm struggling so much. It can be about a real person like Harry Styles, One Direction. Like, it can really be like anything. So the origins of fan fiction, I mean, it's Boots, get out of there, sorry, he's trying to climb up the chimney. So the first ever fan fiction is obviously, it's difficult to trace back, but there is actually a theory that I really like, that actually the Bible is fan fiction, because I don't know this story off by heart, by the way, because I'm not a Christian, but basically I think it's Matthew, Luke, and then these other guys went around telling like their gospel, telling stories of Jesus and doing their own versions of it. Technically, that's fan fiction, but mostly fan fiction can be traced all the way back to the 1700s. I'm going to quote an article from The Atlantic. It is called Fan Fiction Was Just as Sexual in the 1700s as It Is Today. And Shannon Chamberlain writes, sorry, one second, guys. Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels, published in 1726, marked the beginning of this movement. Not long after its publication, readers started to imagine its hero, Lemuel Gulliver, in circumstances that either were only briefly alluded to in the text or they themselves invented. The more shocking the revisions, the better. Many stories took the form of what was essentially fan art. For example, the famous engraver William Hogarth provoked and amused with a graphic representation of Gulliver getting a Lilliputian enema. Though outrageous, Hogarth's rendering was consistent with Gulliver's character, a play on the original hero's delight with the size of his own excrement in contrast to the miniature world of Lilliputian people. From the start, artists were using the form to explore social taboos and sexuality. And there are multiple examples of fan fiction from the 1700s and 1800s. To quote the same article again, by the way, this episode won't just be full of quotes. This is only the first half. I mean, not even the first half, just the first little segment. There was plenty to set the imagination on fire in Samuel Richardson's 1740 classic novel, Pamela, about a lady's maid on an isolated country estate who resists the overtures of her boss. But readers also like to envision scenarios where she gave in wholeheartedly. One reader who was particularly obsessed with reconceiving Pamela Andrews as unchaste was Henry Fielding, Richardson's fellow novelist. Critical of Richardson's puritanical overtones, Fielding resolved to imagine his own Pamela, who was only pretending to be a shrinking violet to increase the desire of her lord. In Shamela, Fielding constructed an alternative set of letters where, in true sexy supervillain fashion, Pamela and her mother lay out their plans to entrap the squire of the manor. Apparently unsated, Fielding went on to write Joseph Andrews, a full-length gender reversal in which Pamela's naive brother resists the seduction attempts of an older land-owning lady, the original squire's sister. And there was actually a very large fanfiction community in Europe in the 1800s and 1900s. Of course, sorry, someone just walked past wearing a Union Jack. There was a very big, large fan fiction reading community in the 1800s and 1900s in Europe. But obviously, reading and sharing fan fiction was nowhere near as simple as it is now. So fan fiction took the form of epistolary. And epistolary is a novel written in letters. So people would send their fan fiction novels in letters to people all around Europe, and that's how they would share their fan fiction. And this especially where there was an uptick in fan fiction and just writing in general in the 1900s among middle class families, because ink, paper became more readily available and cheaper. And in the 1920s, fans of Conan Doyle, the author of Sherlock Holmes, created Sherlock Holmes societies where people would discuss different theories, what the books meant, but most importantly, people would share their fan fiction. And a very common and popular fan fiction sort of genre was called a Mary Sue fan fiction, where basically it would be an almost self-insert, and the Mary Sue could basically do no wrong. She was perfect in every way. She had loads of friends. The love interest was obsessed with her. She had multiple people obsessed with her. And I mean, that's just kind of funny to me. Like, the Mary Sue was the original YN. And one of the most notable works was My First Meeting with Sherlock Holmes by Ellery Quinn. Sorry, but Mary Sue is the original YN. I know I've already said that, but like, you can imagine like a Mary Sue in like the 1920s compared to like YN, where it's like, I threw my shiny, messy brown hair into a messy bun on top of my head. I looked at my face in the mirror. I wasn't that pretty, but I had perfectly clear skin, a heart-shaped face, twinkling eyes, and perfect plump lips, and a small button nose. Do you know what I mean? And then during the 1930s and the 1950s, fan fiction almost exclusively existed in sci-fi communities. Specifically, I mean, there's lots of sci-fi communities that had fan fiction, but one of the most popular ones was Star Trek. In 1968, Jennifer Guthridge published The Ring of Soshan, where Spock and Kirk find themselves stranded on a remote desert island, where Spock goes into a state of Ponfar, the violent on-heart fever that comes to Vulcans, during which they must have sex or die. So even back in the 1950s and 60s, gay pairings who aren't gay in the show or aren't like explicitly gay in the show were very popular. And then the internet basically blew this thing wide open. So fan fiction in the internet is very difficult to trace back to like the first ever fan fiction ever published on the internet. But a very interesting story is what authors like embraced fan fiction and what authors didn't, because there were plenty of authors that really embraced fan fiction and found it really flattering. And honestly, if I was an author, I'd be chuffed about fan fiction, as long as it wasn't too, like, you know, involving things like paedophilia and like incest, then like I'm fine with it. Do whatever you want. And also it's free advertising. If you're thinking about it like that, if you're thinking about it fiscally, it's free advertising. But one author, the author of Interview with a Vampire, is that it? Interview with a Vampire? Yeah, I think so. Her name's Anne Rice. She was not pleased when she discovered the existence of fan fiction. In fact, she said, and I'm quoting an article from The Guardian, in the beginning there was fan fiction from The Four Gospels to 50 Shades of Grey by Ewan Morrison. Anne Rice, author of Interview with a Vampire, vigorously defended her copyright, claiming that fanfic, in particular AU fic, diluted the integrity of her characters and stories. In a letter to her fans, she stated, "I do not allow fan fiction. The characters are copyrighted. It upsets me terribly," sorry, I was making sure I was still recording, "to even think about fan fiction with my characters. It is absolutely essential that you respect my wishes." Fanfic authors then claimed that Rice had attacked them by email and even threatened their businesses. She also demanded that fanfic.net remove all fanfic stories. Since then, authors such as Andre Norton, Mercedes Lackey, and David Weber have also come to adopt a zero tolerance stance. And you know what I think? Stop being so boring! Fanfic is a little bit of fun, but like, whatever. So some very popular fanfiction fandoms in the early days of the internet, like I'm talking late 90s, early 2000s, were of course Star Trek, X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Doctor Who, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, Inuyasha, and Bleach. And that brings us to today. So I thought, let's talk about different fanfiction websites, because I need to come at this from the point of view where I'm just going to come at this where you guys have never read fanfiction in your life, because there's like, I mean, I think I'm a pretty good, well-educated person with fanfiction, but I do just want to make it clear that I am not the authority on fanfiction. I've never written fanfiction before. I don't have any friends that write fanfiction either, so I couldn't really get that kind of perspective. And also when I start talking about specific fanfictions, I feel ridiculous having to say this because I know that you guys who listen to my podcast are normal people, but don't send hate to the people that write the fan fictions, okay? Be normal, just listen to my podcast and move on with your life. Or share it with a friend. That would be better, share it with a friend. So first of all, we have fanfiction.net. Fanfiction.net is like the OG archival fanfiction website. It was founded by LA computer programmer Xing Li and now has over 12 million users, over 14 million works published in over 40 different languages. And the most popular fandoms on this site being Harry Potter, Naruto, Twilight, and Supernatural. So I have used a little bit of fanfiction.net, but personally, it wasn't something that I used a lot because, I mean, it works, it's functional, it's fine, but I just don't think it's the best, in my opinion. You can still find some good fanfiction on there, don't get me wrong. It's not full of, like, bad fanfiction or anything. It's just something that I personally did not choose to use that much because I found that the filtering tools weren't that good. It was quite difficult to discover. Sorry, my cat Boots is on airplane mode. You know when cats put their ears back and they're like looking actually deranged. But yeah, so personally, not my favorite. Next is Tumblr. So Tumblr is obviously used for a very wide range of blogging needs. I used Tumblr back in my day to reblog angsty, pale grunge Tumblr pictures and wallow in my self-pity and depression. So that's what I used it for. But I know that a lot of fandoms congregated on Tumblr. I think a strength of Tumblr was that Tumblr has very good community tools. It's very good to make friends. It's very good to connect with fans of things that you like, which I've watched a very good video essay from Sarah Z about DashCon. Everyone, guys, DashCon is so funny, okay? So you guys have to go check out that video essay after you listen to this podcast episode, obviously. So Tumblr is definitely good. It has good discovery tools too. It's good. You're sort of more often to find Tumblr things like Imagines, which we'll get into all these different forms of fan fiction later. But you can find Imagines and One Shots, I find are good to find on there. But if you want like an actual sort of like multi-chapter story, I find that Tumblr is a little bit weak in that sense, because unless the person has like their a master list on their blog where like it's easy to get to, it's a lot of faff to try and find all the chapters of the story, because you can't, you know, it doesn't have that kind of a format, because that's not what Tumblr is for. I mean, it can be used for that, but that's not its like priority, if that makes sense. So the next website is Archive of Our Own, AO3. Archive of Our Own is absolutely elite, okay? I am a Archive of Our Own stan. I had to use it again recently to look at some of the old fanfictions that I used to read in like my 20s, but this is what I was using in my later life. So Archive of Our Own is a non-profit open source repository for fanfictions and other fan works. It was created in 2008 by the Organization for Transformative Works and now has over 11 million works published in over 50,000 different fandoms. The most popular fandoms on AO3 being the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Supernatural, Sherlock, and Harry Potter. So the fanfiction that I used to read on Archive of Our Own was, I used to read The Walking Dead fanfiction mostly. Really good Walking Dead fanfiction. And also I dabbled a little bit in Until Dawn fanfiction on there, but I couldn't really find that much, to be honest. I think something which really helps, I think first of all, Archive of Our Own has incredible filtering tools. It's just too good. And also it's just a nicer looking website than fanfiction.net. And I'm trying to think of some other not critiques, like good things. There was something else I was going to say and it was on like the tip of my tongue, but now I've forgotten. Also, I think something which really helps sort of filter out crap on Archive of Our Own is that to write a story, you have to have your account for a certain amount of days before you can write anything. And I think that really helps filter out like 1-2 chapter fan fictions before people literally just like ditch it and leave it. And then we have Wattpad. Wattpad is an icon, all right? The moment. Like, Wattpad is very much associated with bad fan fiction. And look, I haven't ever really read a good fan fiction on Wattpad. Wattpad is more for younger fan fiction writers, but I think the reason why I have never read a good fan fiction in Wattpad is because like I am older now. I'm sure when I was like 14, 15, I read some bangers on Wattpad, which wouldn't be to my taste now, if that makes sense. But basically, it's actually just like a writing website. And you can write stories on there. Like, there's very popular stories on there, like that aren't fan fiction. But obviously, it became a place where fan fiction, especially young fan fiction writers, congregated, shared their stories, read each other's stories. And, oh, guys, people used to do the Polyvore links. And so does anyone remember? Someone DM'd me about this, like put it in my question box, and it gave me life. I completely forgot about this. So back in my day, when you used to read a fan fiction, people would attach a link to their Polyvore, which I think is, I guess, kind of like a Pinterest. It was either Polyvore or like a We Heart It link. And like every chapter would have like an outfit. So like, for example, your first day back at Hogwarts and you're in fifth year, they would link the little Hogwarts uniform that they would wear. These uniforms were fucking outrageous, by the way. Like, it was like, they'd be like, so this is my uniform, and it would be like a tiny little mini skirt, a little like unbuttoned shirt, your little, you know, tie and your, what's it called? The little cape thingy. And then like some thigh high socks with like a little bit of skin peeking out. And then either some really high heeled boots, some actual heels, or like some like Doc Martens if you're feeling like edgy, or like a pair of fishnets. So like, or that'd be like, oh my god, like party in the what is that room called in Harry Potter where like you have to like imagine it and then you can see it? What is that room called? I don't know. Or like party in the Gryffindor common room. sorry, this is too fucking funny. This is too funny. So much is coming back to me. And then we also have, I think it's pronounced Quotev, but it's literally quote with a V on the end. I'm going to pronounce it Quotev, which is basically another Wattpad adjacent kind of website. I think it is specifically for fan fiction though, with a lot of young fan fiction readers and writers. And again, them Polyvore links were hitting. All right, guys, they were hitting. And then lastly, we have Quizilla. Oh my God. So Quizilla was, it's a quiz website, but there'll be a lot of fandom related quizzes. And then there would be like fandom related fan fiction, like via the quizzes, if that makes sense. And I did find out as I was researching, Quizilla's been shut down, you guys. I need to get a soundboard so I can put like a, ah. So sad. What you say? Like, how sad is that? Because I was trying to find like a, I mean, we'll get into it, but I was trying to find a Quizilla like quiz fan fiction to read for you guys, but I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it because it's dead. And I went on a Reddit because someone put like a Reddit, like, how can I find some old Quizilla fan fictions? And I was like, we've all been there, babe. Like when you used to read, I remember there was one fan fiction, right? Genuinely, I read it when I was, I think I was, it was when Stranger Things came out. And it was about Steve, obviously. It was when Stranger Things came out. So I think I was about 17 because I remember it was the summer and I was going year 12 into year 13. And guys, I'm telling you, this fan fiction changed the trajectory of my life. And then they deleted it. Guys, I still can't. So, let's actually talk about my experience with fan fiction. Like, it's time to get personal. Because I thought it'd be fun to talk about, like, how I discovered fan fiction, my fan fiction journey. I already talked briefly about why my fan fiction journey sort of ended. But to be fair, reading some of these fan fictions, I'm literally like, oh my God, maybe I should get back into this. Like, this is good. So, first of all, so as I said earlier, I was an avid fan fiction reader between the age of sort of, I'm going to round it up to 12, all the way to like 2021. I don't really remember where I stopped. It wasn't like a clean break or anything. It was just like I teetered off because there wasn't anything that I really wanted to read anymore. As I said earlier, it very much ended because there are no fandoms that I'm really invested in. The fandoms that I am invested in, I don't really want to read fan works about that fandom, if that makes sense. So like, for example, I am really into Succession, as we all know here. I fucking love Succession. But like, I think I would not want to read a fan fiction about Succession because I think the show is already so perfect. Do you know what I mean? Meanwhile, with like a show like The Walking Dead, there's so much room for like original characters, or with Until Dawn, because it's such like a small video game, there is so much room to write about the characters. Like, sorry, oh my God, I keep nearly burping. I'm literally doing everything to like force it down. But with a fandom like Until Dawn, because it's literally just a video game and you don't really find out that much about the characters really, like just a little bit about their personality, but it's more about the gameplay. It's also about storyline, but there's so much room for interpretation to do like a sequel, a prequel, spin-off, stuff like that. So, you know, with a show like Succession, I feel like it's already so well done that I don't want to read any fan work about it. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, so let's actually get into it. So the first fan fiction I ever have memory of reading was, I was scrolling on Quizilla looking for, I was trying to find out who my Hogwarts Harry Potter boyfriend was, obviously, as every 12-year-old does. And I was scrolling through, and I kept seeing this thing called 7 Minutes in Heaven, 7 Minutes in Heaven. I'm literally like, what the fuck? Like, what is that? I had no idea what that was. So I'm just carrying on with my life, whatever. And then anyways, I think months must have passed at this point, like at least a few months. And I'm watching, it was either an American movie or like an American sketch on YouTube. But basically, I then discovered what 7 Minutes in Heaven was. Guys, the way I ran The way I sprinted, galloped, cantered over to Quizilla. I mean, like, wait a minute. So then I started reading Harry Potter 7 Minutes in Heaven at age 11 or 12. Yeah. Yeah. That's me. And I was enjoying myself. It was fun. So that's sort of where I discovered that, like, oh, fan fiction exists. And then I'm sure I must have read like a little bit of fan fiction here and there, but sort of the age of 14 to, I think it was 14 when I read this fan fiction, I got really into Harry Potter. I was really into Harry Potter. And I started reading like Harry Potter fan fictions on like Quotev and Wattpad. And I was very much, my fan fiction taste, even though the taste in like literature have changed, the type of fan fictions I want to read hasn't changed. I just realized I haven't actually written in my script different types of fan fiction. So I just want to run through that very, very quickly. I've got to try and remember this off my head, but basically there are stories, so like multi-chapter stories, there is spin-offs, there are alternate universes, there are, you know, slash fan fictions, which is basically putting a pairing together which aren't together in the show. There is also self-insert, which is basically like YN, right? It's all sort of in second person normally. And then there is also original character fan fiction, which is basically when the writer makes like an original character and inserts them into the, you know, show, movie, book, game, whatever it is. And original characters sort of are very similar to like Mary Sue YN, as in usually the original character is like perfect in every way and every single person is obsessed with them. But also the original character, it's like a lot easier to like build a story around them. You can get better characterization. Like, I personally prefer original character over self-insert YN. And then, so there's like multi-chapter stories. There's also one-shots, which is basically like a one-chapter story. And then there is also Imagines. So like, you know, and the Imagines, they're the ones that like absurd. Like, you know, imagine Zayn Malik fisting you. Like, it was, sorry. It was literally stuff like that. Like, I wish I was joking. Like, it would literally be anything like as mediocre as like, imagine Harry makes eye contact with you at his concert and winks at you and says, I'll see you later. I don't know why I turned him Cockney. And then there's like, and then it like, it goes all the way down the line to like, imagine if Zayn Malik fists you. Like, it really, like, yeah, you don't get a lot from Imagines. They're very boring, in my opinion. But yeah, those are the different types of fan fiction. But back onto me. So let's make this about myself. So I was a very big fan of the fanfiction which I read, which even though my taste in literature changed, I still sort of favoured the same stories, which was like original character romance stories, right? So like, for example, back when I was like 18, 19, I would read like a Daryl Dixon slash original female character. That's what I would read. Or when I was sort of 18, 19, 20, Negan slash original female character. Like, that's the stuff that I read, right? And I was into it. Because, like, again, you can sort of picture yourself as the original character. And yeah. So those are different types of fan fiction. So then I was sort of dabbling in... I remember before I... I forgot where I was in my story. I'm so sorry, you guys. So I dabbled a little bit in like Dramini and Fromini fanfiction, but like I wasn't really eating. Nothing really sticks in my head. And then I discovered sort of original character fanfiction on Wattpad and Quotev, and I was living with those Polyvore links. And I then sort of, as I sort of got to the age of like 15 or 16, I think more on 16, my tastes started started to develop and I started to get a lot more into Archive of Our Own and a little bit into fanfiction.net. But I was reading, again, it's all sort of the original character romance ones, but sort of in different fandoms. And I also dabbled a little bit in like Breaking Bad fan fiction, Until Dawn fan fiction. But yeah, the last fan fiction I remember really sticking, because I've read a lot of fan fiction, but there's only like five in my head that really stick. And the last one was a Walking Dead Negan fan fiction. Something fun, which I thought I would do, which I'm going to do in a moment, is I've managed to find, there's like four fan fictions which stuck in my head, which I was obsessed with. And I've managed to find them and I'm going to read a little excerpt out from each of them. But before we do that, I thought I would talk about some popular fan fiction tropes, right? So some popular fan fiction tropes, of course, smut. If you don't know what smut is, it's basically like horny literature, like, and it's good, like it's good, yeah. And also I loved Slow Burn. Oh my god, guys, so Slow Burn is like, I mean, it says it in the name, like it's basically like a romance story that is very, very slow. I'm pretty sure all of these tropes can be applied to actual fictional books, so I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, but just in case, yeah, no, like I'm talking reading 50 60 80 100 chapters and they still haven't kissed, but when they do, oh, so good. And then we have Friends to Lovers, which personally I was not into Friends to Lovers. Yawn. Boring. Not for me. Enemies to Lovers, I can get a little bit into that. I know a lot of people don't like Enemies to Lovers because it does perpetuate toxic relationships, which we will talk about problematic fan fiction tropes and like problems with fan fiction later in this episode. And then we have Enemies to Friends to Lovers. I can vibe with that. I think that's like fun. My favorite one, my favorite trope ever, friends with benefits to lovers. Guys, the way, or like they're sleeping together, it's sort of quite casual and then they get into a relationship. Guys, the way that I loved these fan fictions, I just love it. Like, it's just a lot more messy, I think. And it's actually funny because me and Len, we weren't friends with benefits, but we were sleeping together and then we became boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, we had a reverse relationship, right? And it's literally like, yeah, I was loving it. Like, I remember being like, oh my god, it's literally like I'm in a fan fiction. Like, yeah, no, I loved it. I absolutely loved it, especially when they like each other, but like they don't want to say anything, and oh my god, it's too good. It's too good. They get into fights, like, what are we? Sorry, I've literally got a massive smile on my face. I'm reminiscing. And then the next, pining. So like pining is like, sorry, it sounds like I'm saying Pinely. He doesn't listen to my podcast, but like, love you, Pinely. Pining, which is basically like when they both want each other, when they're pining for each other, you know. And then there's also, well, pining is just like it's on one side, but then there's mutual pining, which is like they both want each other, but there's just things in the way. Like, guys, I love Right Person, Wrong Time. That's not really a fan fiction trope, but like I like it in like movies and stuff and like TV shows, like Normal People. Guys, I genuinely think, I watch Normal People in lockdown like everyone else, I think that Normal People altered my brain chemistry. I really, really think it did. Unrequited love. This is when it gets sad. But also mutual unrequited love. It's sort of like mutual pining. Angst. One of my little fake dating. I liked it when I was younger, but I didn't really like it when I got older. I think it's just when you get older, you're like, why do people fake date? Like, what's the point of this? I do quite like the whole, like, are like, I remember I watched an anime, I think it was Toradora, where it was like they both fancied each other's best friend, so they were gonna try and set each other up with each other's best friends, but then they ended up falling for each other. Bad boy ex good girl. I don't like this, but I feel like there's like a certain way to like handle it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it can be done well, but it shouldn't be as explicit as bad boy good girl. Like, I feel I like a difference in personality. I think that can be carried off really well in fan fiction and in literally any media ever. But I like a difference in personality. I like it when people are like, they're the yin to my yang. Like, there's like a balance there. Do you know what I mean? So like, I sort of like good girl in a sense where like bad boy, where it's like someone that's like, they get what they want. They're very upfront. They aren't rude or anything, but like they have like a really like, I don't know, like shifty job. I don't know. They're a traffic warden. And also like, and then like the, with the woman, they're like a little bit, maybe a little bit more, I don't know whether it's reserved is the right term, but like maybe they are a little bit, I don't know whether shyer is the right term either, but do you know what? I can't be able to get into it, otherwise we'll be here all day. But like, basically, I feel like there's a way to do bad boy ex good girl, but not it be so obvious, because when it's like obvious, I really, really don't like it. And then there's also, yeah, no, and then with good, bad boy comes with good, bad boy, sorry. And with bad boy ex good girl often comes like an I'm not like the other girls kind of thing, which I'm not really into. The one bed trope. Oh my God, guys, the way that I hate the one bed trope. It's just absurd. Like, it's so stupid. Like, I just hate the whole like, oh my God, there's only one bed. Like, I hate it. I hate it so much. And then also there's alpha, beta, omega, and I actually forgot to research into this because I could not get into this. Like, I could not get into this because, so I don't really know what it means. So let me search up alpha, beta, omega fan fiction explained. Okay, alpha/beta/omega, sometimes called alpha/omega or omegaverse, is a kink trope wherein some people have defined biological roles based on a hierarchical system. The terms were borrowed from older behavior research on captive wolves that had been misappropriated by popular culture, but do not reflect current wolf behavior research. Fan works using this trope may involve werewolf, knotting, or other animalistic elements, or the characters may otherwise be purely human. Okay, so you know what? I thought it sounded a little bit wolfy. Yeah, I just could never get into that. I'm not into, like, alpha, like, kink. Like, it's just a bit too far removed from reality for me. Says the girl that literally used to read Harry Potter fanfiction religiously. Like, guys, it's just a bit too far from reality for me. I actually just want to thank you guys for sticking around so far into this episode. I'm having so much fun recording it. And I just want to thank our second sponsor for today's episode, Kitsch, who have sponsored me before. I really, really like their products. They sent me a couple of their silk pillowcases that both me and Lem use and we both really like. It makes our hair very soft. Kitsch has created some game-changing beauty essentials. Kitsch believes that everyone deserves to treat themselves at an affordable price. They are a female-founded business that got their start in 2010 by selling hair ties door to door and are now carried in over 20,000 locations. Kitsch's bestsellers include their vegan and cruelty-free satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks. I received one of their satin pillowcases. I've always used satin pillowcases because it stops my hair from getting frizzy. And as you can see, guys, I used it last night. Bear in mind, I haven't straightened my hair today. I washed it like 2 or 3 days ago. My hair looks so soft. And it's also perfect for me because my hair's bleached. Their rice shampoo bars, their rosemary scalp oil, and their heatless satin curling rollers. Say bye-bye to heat damage. These are the original, the OG, and still the best heatless curlers. Don't settle for knockoffs. Get the ones that started the craze. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/Jordan. That's right, 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, spelt mykitsch.com/Jordan. Jordan. One more time, mykitch.com/Jordan for 30% off your order. Thank you so much again, Kitch, for sponsoring this portion of the podcast episode. Both sponsors will be linked down below. So let's talk about some fan fictions that I absolutely gobbled up, okay? I think I have four that I'm going to read little excerpts from, so you guys can see my changes in like taste of fan fiction, if that makes sense. So as I said earlier, I could not find any Quizilla fan fiction, so you're just gonna have to imagine what a Quizilla Harry Potter 7 Minutes in Heaven fan fiction quiz would be like. I'm so sorry, guys, but I did manage to find this fan fiction that I read religiously when I was like, I think I was 14 years old when I read this. And it's called, by the way, just want to make it clear that I am not sending any hate to anyone that wrote these fan fictions. Most of these fan fictions are really good, and any of ones which I don't think are that good, we were good at the time, do you know what I mean? And the person who wrote them was probably like 15 or 16. So some fan fiction that it's a certain type of fan fiction, certain genre that I absolutely ate up was Marauder's Era Harry Potter fan fiction, right? You know if you know. You know if you know, okay? So basically, they were like obviously with the fan cast in mind. The way that I can remember this fan cast still, because it changed my life. So fan cast, Marauder's Era Tumblr fan cast. It was always Aaron Taylor Johnson as James Potter, Ben Barnes as Sirius Black, Andrew Garfield as Remus Lupin, Peter Pettigrew was literally any scrawny white dude, and then Karen Gillan was always Lily Potter. And yeah, no. So that's what I had in mind when I was reading this Marauder's Era fanfiction. There was just something, the Marauder's Era just like hit for me. Like, I actually preferred reading this kind of fantasy. I'm literally stumbling over my words because I'm so excited. I actually preferred reading this kind of fanfiction than to like present day Harry Potter fanfiction. So this was called It Didn't Even Cross My Mind. And I found this on Quotev. And just to read the little blurb. So bear in mind, this wasn't YN. This was original character, and the original character was called Jordan. Like, guys, it's a sign. So let me read this out. Jordan Potter and... Sorry. Sorry. I never thought that I would be doing this. Like, if I could go back to my 15-year-old self, 14, 15-year-old self, who was reading this fan fiction like it was the Bible, and then going back and being like, you're going to read this on a podcast one day when you're, like, 24 years old, she wouldn't believe it. So, Jordan Potter and Sirius Black could not be more perfect for each other. Everyone thinks so except them. And of course, James, Jordan's overprotective twin brother. The only problem is, in the way of Jordan and Sirius discovering their love for each other is their hate. What happens when Remus admits his long-hidden feelings for Jordan? Love triangle! When hate turns to love and Jordan is stuck between two choices that could ruin the friendship of two boys forever, it didn't even cross her mind. Guys, this was eating! I was eating! So, let me read a little excerpt. Because I'm not saying that this fanfiction was bad, but like it was of its time is what I'm going to say. Because it's sort of, when I was reading it, to my friend Jake in preparation, I was practicing. I said that it reads a lot like a diary, if you know what I mean. Like, it sort of reads like that kind of like 14-year-old journal kind of thing. So let me read it. Remus, I screamed as we fell over again. Remus somehow ended up under me. I was straddling his waist. Sorry, I don't know why I'm like this. Sorry, just like reading like kind of like raunchy fan fiction that I read when I was 14 is just like making my skin crawl a little bit. Again, this isn't personal to the fan fiction or the writer, obviously, but it's actually made me laugh because whenever I see the word straddle, I think about, I was really drunk coming back from my mum's birthday party, which I'm going to, she's having a second birthday party today, which I'm also going to, and I was trying to spell the word straddle to my sister. I was trying to text her and I could not spell the word straddle. paddle because I was so drunk. I was so confused as well because I was like, I literally like strat, and I kept trying to picture in my head and I couldn't do it. Guys, I spelled it S-T-R-T-L-E-D, strattled. Oh my God. Anyways, so let me go back to reading this fan fiction. He laughed louder and harder, making me laugh. I'm so sorry. Merlin, we're funny. Remus chuckled. Oh my God. So basically, I'm going to talk more about it later, but fan fiction is very much an echo chamber, as in like people that write fan fiction often read fan fiction. So not only does fan fiction, it's not all the same, but like a lot of the same writing words, techniques, sentences are used. And one of them is chuckle. Remus chuckled. He caught me off guard when he suddenly flipping us over. Rah! Remus growled. Ah! Gripping my waist as I fell. Remus rolled on top of me, making me laugh harder. Stop! I giggled. Remus chuckled, standing up. You can still carry me, I exclaimed as he started to walk away. I scrambled up and skipped after him. Oh, okay, Remus said, turning around. I expected him to crouch down and let me hop onto his back, but he never. He tackled me, chucking me over his shoulder. Remus! I giggled. I exclaimed when he smacked my butt. Oh my God. He just laughed more, causing me to laugh. Sirius won't like that, Mooney. He just laughed. Oh, what's he gonna do? Remus asked. He jogged up the stairs, making my head bounce. Hit you, I offered when we reached the top of the stairs. Remus snickered. I hit my head off your back, I stated, rubbing my forehead. A minute later, we were climbing through the portrait hall. Well, Remus was, which was awkward because he was carrying me. This just made us laugh more. Remus stumbled into the unusually quiet common room where a few people were sat chatting and hanging out. Their calm atmosphere was broken by mine and Remus's laughter. James, Sirius, and Peter were all sat in our usual seats, laughing about something too. So, again, I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's of its time. And when I was looking into this, I realized that she last did an update in 2019. So I was like, what's going on there? And she actually is rewriting the fan fiction. And I went and looked at the rewritten version, which is like, so like it's good, like it is actually good. I haven't read it like fully, but like I read one chapter to be like, I wonder how she's rewritten it, and she's rewritten it really well. So again, this is no hate to the girl. I really highly doubt that she will ever listen to this, but do you know what I mean? You gotta be careful. Okay, so the next fanfiction I have to read for you guys is a Breaking Bad fanfiction. It's called Junkie. It's on fanfiction.net. I can't find like the description. I didn't really use this as a self insert because like this is dark. This is dark. But I used it more as like a, oh, like imagine if there was like this original character in the TV show. So, Charlie, the mess of long black hair grown from her spot on the mattress, not adhering to the whispered shout of her name, still impaired by the heroin in her system, her ability to react quickly to the situation at hand was hindered and causing complications for a certain Jesse Pinkman. Charlie, he hissed again, shaking her awake and grabbing at her discarded clothing, tossing them onto the slowly waking girl. Emilio, his assistant cook, had assumed responsibility for the batch of crystal methamphetamine that was being produced downstairs, originally granting Jesse some alone time with his girlfriend. Unfortunately, the time had very recently been interrupted by a batch of DEA agents and a SWAT team breaking down their front door. It was no secret that if caught, all three would face class 2 felony charges, as well as up to 5 years in prison and thousands of dollars in fines. Jesse only had a matter of seconds before they discovered the hidden staircase, meaning that he had to get out of here as soon as humanly possible. Come on, baby. Jesse assisted the heavily influenced female up from the mattress and into her shirt. We got a bounce. Charlie is 5'7", 100-pound frame, was boosted out of the window and onto the roof. Her boyfriend seemed to follow. He jumped down from the terrace first and gently coaxed the tiny girl to follow his lead. After a minute of hushed persistence, she followed, falling into his waiting arms with no problem at all. It seemed that they were going to be able to escape Amelia's estate without being caught by the police. But just as Jesse prepared to hop into his car, he locked eyes with a man sitting in one of the squad cars with a bulletproof vest on. He didn't seem like DEA, being that he looked fairly alarmed and hadn't radioed for help yet. The man stared back, mouthing the familiar students' names and opening his mouth as if to scream at the police inside the house. It was only safest to assume that they had already captured Emilio. This was already bad news enough. It meant that Jesse lost all of his equipment and cooking space. So, good, well written, and obviously this sort of gets more into it You know, that was like the first chapter. So like they're establishing a lot of stuff. But like, I will say that one thing I remember about this fan fiction is that, common thing with all fan fictions is that they're very descriptive, which I don't always think is necessary. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're reading Breaking Bad fan fiction, you know what's going on. You've watched the show. So I feel like it was a little bit too descriptive for like my liking now, but very good. And you can see like the difference between the last fan fiction I read and this fan fiction. So the next fan fiction I read when I think I was around 17 years old. I've got to find it. I haven't searched it up. And it is a Daryl Dixon fan fiction, obvious. And it is on Archive of Our Own. It's called His Walls, right? I literally remember the name of it because it changed my brain chemistry. So let me read the description for you guys. People build up walls not to keep others out, but to see who cares enough to break them down. Truer words have never been spoken where Daryl Dixon was concerned. He never expected anyone to care enough until someone did. So basically, guys, this is like obviously alternate universe, original female character. But basically it like goes from like when they're 20 to when they're like 35 or something. Like it's like a flashback to present day. So I don't know what chapter to read. Because I've been reading a lot of the first chapters, but I feel like I'm not giving people like the benefit of the doubt because the first chapter is always very like setting the scene. Okay, all right. So this is from chapter 4, I think. Bayan woke with a little yelp as insistent knocking tore her out of her deep sleep. She felt disoriented for a moment, having no idea what time it was. She stumbled towards the door, her foot getting caught in the blanket, and she fell to the floor in a very ungraceful manner. Ow! She winced and rubbed her elbow, which she had slammed against the edge of the coffee table. Outside the door, Daryl's eyes widened when he heard the noise of something dropping on the floor and Bay's pain-filled moan. Panic gripping his inside, his knocking became even more urgent and louder. Bayan, open the fucking door. Keep your pants on, I'm coming, she shouted. She got up and walked the last couple of steps until she realized that she didn't recognize the voice and didn't have any idea who was banging on her door. Who is it? Daryl. Her eyes widened and her heart started racing. Daryl? Oh my god. He's making sure I'm not coming to the parking lot. Good call, I didn't go. Bay opened the door and started explaining herself right away. I wasn't going to come. Don't worry. I was already sleeping. I'm not going to bother you and ruin your night. Daryl didn't know what hit him. He didn't really listen to what she was saying. He was speechless for a moment when he took in her rumpled appearance. Shit, why she got to be so damn cute? His stomach was doing funny things and he reflexively rested his palm on it like it was going to calm it down. Shouldn't have eaten that. Sorry, that went up. You promised, he finally interrupted her rant while his eyes scanned the apartment behind her, making sure nobody else was there. What? You promised you'd come, so why aren't you dressed and on your damn way? We were waiting, he asked gruffly, doing a great job intimidating her, making her blush and grasp for words. That's pretty good. Again, not like, I like it definitely, but yeah, no. Again, just good fanfiction. I don't think I'd read it again. Just because, I don't know, like, I don't think I would read this one again, but it was good. It definitely was good. But can you guys see, like, how the style and what I'm into has changed? So the last one is a Negan / original female character. I read this when I was, like, 20 or something, and this is good. It's good, but it has problematic aspects. So I want to just mark that up very quickly before we get into that. Sorry if the microphone's going funny, I'm holding my phone. So it is a Negan / original female character story, and again it flips between future and past, before the apocalypse, after the apocalypse, because they knew each other before, they knew each other after. Can you guys see a running theme here? And let me read chapter. There's one chapter that I think I read it to Jake and I was like, fuck, like this is good. All right, guys, I'm ready to read it. This is my everything, okay? So no one's allowed to be like negative about this fanfiction. This was my everything. I mean, we can be negative about the problematic aspects in a sec. He had to admit she left him a little mesmerized. Running in a sports bra and leggings showed off a strong, lean form. Her dark hair out and flying wild at her back. She was fast coming up around the turn like lightning. He simply gawked, asking himself why he hadn't seen her before. She must have noticed him too, as he could make out the slightest grin on her face from the distance, becoming clearer and clearer as she cut across the field, using the last bit of track to dash up to him. She was gorgeous. Bright eyes shone out from him from beneath black lashes. Soft lips framed her lopsided smile. Sweat beaded across her skin and her chest and heaved slightly, her curved lit hip cocking to one side as she placed a hand on one. Then she opened her mouth. I'll be damned. How are you doing, you fucking geezer? Sorry, I don't like when American people say geezer. He blinked at her, taking a moment to put two and two together that the beautiful dark creature stood before him now was the same aggressive, ill-tempered little monster from 4 years ago. You guys starting to see the problematic aspects. Holy shit, he rasped as she stepped towards him, pulling him into a hug. She felt as good as she looked. Ah! He noted as his arm embraced her in a quick hello. Del, the one and only, she replied with a flourish, pulling back. He'd seen glimpses of her while she was in school. Mm-hmm. And must have shook her hand at graduation, but seeing her now was something different. How you been, teach? Giving little Eric what for? Remembering himself, he cast her an easy smile. Don't need to. He follows the rules just fine. She laughed at this. It was the same laugh as her younger self, but age had made it deeper, somehow more feminine. Yeah, that sounds like Eric. Always scared of the big bad coach. She gave him a little wink, and he felt something stir inside him. Stop it, he told himself. Listen, I'm on my last lap, but it's good to see you. Yeah, you too, kid. He bit his lips as his eyes involuntarily combed her form. She noticed, giving him a wicked grin. You look good. Thanks for noticing. You don't look so bad yourself. She laughed as she rejoined the track. It didn't take long for her to reach her top speeds again as he savoured the last few glimpses of her breasts bouncing before she turned to the track. Fuck, he breathed, tearing his eyes away to focus on his work. He slid his hands into his pockets as he made his way to his office, his fingers dancing over something cold, metal and circular. When had he taken off his wedding ring? Guys, like, sorry, are you not enthralled by that fan fiction? Are you guys not enthralled by that? So good, like, so good. I don't have any critique really apart from the use of the term geezer. Like, it just cringe. I mean, even when British people say geezer, I'm actually like, ugh. But yeah, no, those are the fan fictions that I was eating up. I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit. So before talking about the negatives, I thought that I would talk about the positives of fan fiction, because fan fiction gets a bad fucking rap, okay? And I'm here to argue that some fan fiction is good, if not loads of fan fiction is good. So I think the like very obvious ones is that you're getting your work out there. It's technically a form of publishing. You can really build a community with your readers and also with other fan fiction writers. And I've heard the fan fiction community, to an extent, is like a very positive community. It's like good vibes. I just think building a story in general in a fandom that you love is just so much fun, especially when you're talking to other people who love that fandom just as much as you. It's good practice for writing as well. And another benefit of fan fiction is that some of it is really good. So it benefits me reading it. I would say something which I feel like is a benefit, but like it's kind of, it makes me sad when I talk about it, because I think about why, sorry, I'm readjusting my skirt. I think about why, especially, you know, between the ages of like 12 to like 20, why was I so into like this original character fan fiction? Like, why was I into it so much? And I honestly think a lot of it was escapism. I've spoken about this briefly on the podcast, but basically, to cut a very long story short, I had some very traumatic teen years, which only now, age 24, am I working through and finally feeling like I can sort of put behind me, but like, also don't want to speak too soon. You know, when I read these fan fictions, and I'm sure it sort of applies to the people writing it as well, but obviously, I don't know. When I read these fan fictions, I could be anyone that I wanted to be. And I wanted to be the original character who is pretty and everyone wants to be her friend and she's cool and all the boys are obsessed with her and she has a boyfriend and like stuff like that. Like, I think something which really stuck to me was like the friendship aspect of a lot of these fan fictions, because I didn't really have that many friends growing up. So I think just the friendship part was just such a big part for me. Like especially in sort of like those Hogwarts Marauders ones where it's like, you know, they have, there's such a strong group and they all love each other and da 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 da. And like, I wanted that so badly for my old life and for my old life, you know, for my life when I was a teenager. And I was talking about it with my therapist and he said that it gives a lot of power to the disenfranchised. Now, I'm not saying that every single person that writes fan fiction, you know, went through the ringer at school or, you know, doesn't have a great life. You can write fan fiction and have an incredible life. But I feel like a lot of the fan fiction that's like self-insert, original character, a lot of it is like, you know, and people that write fan fiction can maybe be sort of, not everyone, but like some people can be a little bit, you know, socially isolated, like, you know, into, you know, things that other people aren't into and stuff like that. You know, it's not easy. It's hard. And fan fiction is an escape. It is a fantasy. And a lot of people, not all fan fiction, because a lot of fan fiction is like, you know, lovers in like a different, you know, people that weren't together are together, shipping, stuff like that. I'm talking specifically about like the original character stuff, but like, you know, it is like a fantasy. And I think even though, you know, it makes me really sad when I think about my school years and stuff and I don't like to talk about it too much, I'm also grateful that I had fan fiction there, because I think I had a lot of power with sort of my imagination, and I feel like that really, really did help me get it through. It helped me get through. But then, of course, there are some, you know, problematic fan fiction tropes. And then in fan fiction in general, fan fiction can sort of kind of be prone to bad writing, because obviously anyone can publish a fan fiction, but also, as I said earlier, fan fiction is an echo chamber, so you often see very repetitive, often unrealistic dialogue. You know, there's like unrealistic dialogue, and then there's also like very repetitive, like smirk, chuckle, growl. I've written a list here of things that I don't like. Throwing your hair into a messy bun. The one that genuinely, whenever I hear it now, it literally sets off my fight or flight, is their tongues battled for dominance. Your tongues battled for dominance. Oh, guys, I literally can't. It literally makes my skin crawl. I'm so sorry. Like, it literally does. But let's actually talk about some of the, because we're nearly getting to the end, thank God, because I've got to go to my mom's birthday party soon. Let's actually talk about some problematic fan fiction tropes, because fan fiction can actually be quite problematic, believe it or not. So I think something that fan fiction portrays a lot is abusive relationship dynamics. So I think something we need to bear in mind is that a lot of people who write fan fiction are very young, have never been in relationships before. And also, a lot of people that write fan fiction don't know how to write anything other than conflict, which is understandable. It's difficult to drive a story without conflict. And also, a lot of fan fiction is writing as you go along. You know, a lot of fan fictions do have ends, like that Negan one has, it's like 120 chapters or something, but it has like a really good, well-rounded ending. It didn't seem like they were writing as they went along, but a lot of fan fiction sort of on like Wattpad and stuff, they're sort of dragging it out for as long as possible, writing as they go along, and that isn't a good thing sometimes, because If you don't know what to write anything other than conflict, your main couple is literally arguing all the time. This is why I'm one for slow burn, because there can be a lot of conflict within slow burn without it being abusive relationship vibes, you know? And not only that, but also a lot of people who read fan fiction, or write fan fiction rather, are really young and have never been in a relationship before. So they don't really know what's acceptable and what isn't. And I know a lot of people are going to sort of be leaving comments like, you know, it's not that deep, like it's just fan fiction. But when you read this kind of stuff, it does normalize the behavior, which I feel like can be very dangerous when a majority of fan fiction readers are young women. So, you know, it can be emotional abuse, as in like constant arguing, constant arguing, constant conflict. But also there can be actual physical abuse. So, and again, I don't want to criticize this like fan fiction writer too much. Maybe I'll end up bleeping out the name of the fan fiction like in post, because I don't want, I'll get Kath to do it, but I don't want everyone accusing this person of like glorifying abuse, because they probably wrote the fanfiction when they were like really young, and it was probably from other fanfictions they read. But basically, you know that Marauders era wholesome little fanfiction I read? Well, Jordan and Sirius end up becoming a couple in the end, and then someone tells Sirius that Jordan cheated on him with his brother Regulus, right? So Jordan and Sirius, they're having it out in like the hallways of Hogwarts or whatever, and he slaps her across the face. Sorry, what? Like, it was just out of nowhere. And then guess what? Two chapters later, they get back together. Like, and especially what's so crazy is that in that story, Jordan also gets physically assaulted by a different man at a different time, and everyone hates him, and it's this, you know, it's like this whole thing, and like it's awful. And then she literally says like, you remember I've been physically assaulted before, da da da, and he like still slaps her across the face, and it normalizes the behavior. And again, I'm not like criticizing the writer, because they were probably really young when they wrote it. They probably wrote it out of their rewritten version too. But I just think that that's so unhealthy to normalize that kind of behavior, because if a man hits you, get out of the relationship. If your partner hits you at all, get out of the relationship. Like, that's not a normal form of behavior, especially because I'm pretty sure when you get choked in your relationship, it increases the chance of your partner killing you. Like, your chances of being murdered in that relationship go up by like 10, I think it's more, I think it's by 10 times or something like that. I'm gonna have to fact check that, but do you know what I mean? And abusive relationship dynamics often goes hand in hand with the bad boy trope, having to fix and rescue your love interest. Again, I don't think that that's good behavior to normalize to young girls. Again, I'm not criticizing a lot of these writers, because they're all young themselves probably. And I just hate the whole trope of like, your partner hates everyone other than you. I just don't like that. I think if you have a loving partner, you should want to be nice to their friends and be nice to other people. And yeah, like it actually reminds me of this scene in Girls when Hannah introduces Adam to like her extended family, and her mum says something like, you can't keep socializing him, like he's a stray dog. Like, it's sort of like that. Like, these partners get treated like they're stray dogs and babies, and like that you have to care for them. And I just feel like, I hate this whole pressure anyway that women inherently, especially women in heterosexual relationships, automatically become caretakers for their boyfriends. Like, men get passed from one woman in their life down to the other, and fan fiction is just a very small way that that process and behavior is normalized. And on the other hand, we have mental illness and your love interest rescuing you from said mental illness. I remember as a teenager, I don't remember what specific fan fictions it was, but I remember as a teenager reading fan fiction where it involves depression, eating disorders, self-harm, even suicide, and your love interest basically rescues you and like cures your depression, which, as we all know, doesn't work like that. But reading that kind of very stuff in graphic detail is not good for young girls and women. And also using sexual assault as a plot device, and often handling sexual assault badly. And again, I don't have any, I don't think, I'm not against sexual assault being used in fan fictions as long as it's done right. But I think that sexual assault a lot of the time can literally just be used as a plot device to drive the plot forward rather than it being something that happened that gets handled with a lot of respect. Like, it can't just be every single time you get in every single one of these stories, you get sexually assaulted and your love interest comes and saves the day. That doesn't happen a majority of the time. So another one is, and again, this whole sexual assault stuff, being sold as a sex slave to One Direction. Guys, like, it's so strange. And I know it's like fantasy, and but it's just weird. And another thing, and again, we're going to be talking about one of the fan fictions that I just read, is problematic age gaps. This is something which I didn't realize until I got to like this age, but that Negan fan fiction I just read in the episode, you can sort of see where I was going, where he was saying 4 years prior, must have seen her around school. So he was her former teacher, and that whole interaction happens after she's left school. So I'm thinking maybe she's like 25, 26, which is still a little bit weird, but like, okay. She's 19. And he is, I'm probably going to guess, around 38. And was his former teacher. Her former teacher. Like, it's not okay. And then also in that fan fiction, when she breaks up with him, spoiler alert, when she breaks up with him, he physically assaults her and like basically like slams her into a wall, like grabs both of her hands and slams her into a wall. Again, like normalizing physical assault. And then like, I think there's something about like, I don't really remember the details, but there was some sort of like, I should probably go back and read it, but there was some sort of like, oh, she was like kind of turned on by it, which I feel like just isn't like nor. And yeah, fetishization of gay men and MLM relationships also is kind of a thing. Like, again, it's not with all like gay shipping and stuff, but like, I think when it's sort of gay shipping amongst straight girls, it sort of tilts into fetishization, because a very big positive of fan fiction is that it helps you create representation that doesn't already exist. So like, for example, wanting to ship the male characters together, queer representation, making characters that are cisgender in the show trans, in your fan fiction, you know, is creating representation. And you know, having original characters be in wheelchairs, like, you know, stuff like that, like having them be disabled. And you know, some like fan fiction for that is really, really good, because it's really good for a representation side, having an original character who is black, like, you know, like the list goes on. And for that, it's really good. But sometimes that sort of can teeter in, especially with sort of the gay shipping, it can teeter into fetishization sometimes, not all the time. A majority of people that write these fan fictions are queer teenagers themselves. But do you know what I mean? And then also just the people, there's guys, there are some tapped fan fiction out there, like as in incest and beat up. Yeah, like that kind of fan fiction. And I would love to know you guys' thoughts about fan fiction about real people, because it's a bit strange. Like, I mean, yeah, like I would be really uncomfortable if someone made an overtly smutty fan fiction about me. Like, if it was like a character that I played in a TV show, then I wouldn't really care. But if it was like about actually me, I would find that a bit strange, very strange and quite uncomfortable. But over on my story, I asked you guys to send me over your infamous fan fictions. And speaking of fan fiction about real people, the amount of people who sent me Dan and Phil fan fictions, I'm not going to be reading them because we haven't really got the time, to be honest. I've been recording forever, but I thought I would shout out some infamous fan fictions, some good, some bad. So It seems that a lot of the Dan and Phil ones are, like, every single time someone would send one in, they'd go, oh my god, I was traumatized by this fan fiction. But we have Milk, Hamster, Hat, Skin, Brotherly Love, Sunburn. And I don't want to know what any of those is about, but I've heard that it's not good. But on a positive note, we have, there's a fan fiction called All the Young Dudes on AO3, which is a Marauders era Wolfstar fan fiction from Remus's Lupin's point of view. That sounds really fun, and everyone has said, I had multiple people write that fan fiction and say that it was really good. So that's like a recommendation if anyone wants to read it. And then another one, I think it's on AO3, it's called Twist and Shout, and apparently this is really good too. Let me read the little bio. It says, what begins as a transforming love between Dean Winchester and Castiel Novak in the summer of 1965 quickly derails into something far more tumultuous when Dean is drafted in the Vietnam War. Though the two both voice their relationship is one where saying goodbye is never a real truth, their story becomes fraught with the tragedy of circumstance. In an era where homosexuality was especially vulnerable, Twist and Shout is the story of the love transcending time, returning over and over in its many forms, as faithful as the sea. I love that. That sounds so fun. I never watched Supernatural, but that sounds so fun. So the next one is My Immortal. I think I watched a Sarah Z again video essay about this, but let me read this out. So My Immortal is a Harry Potter based fan fiction serially published on fanfiction.net between 2006 and 2007. Though notable for its convoluted narrative and constant digressions, the story largely centers a non-canonical female vampire character named Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way, not family of Gerard Way, and her relationships with the characters of the Harry Potter series, particularly her romantic relationship with Draco Malfoy, culminating in her traveling back in time to defeat the main antagonist of the series, Lord Voldemort. Like, guys, that just sounds too good. Like, so to finish this episode off, because I really do have to go soon, I thought I would talk about the ability to monetize fan fictions and fan fictions being published, because I understand fan fictions not being published because it's someone else's copyright. And in fact, in 2003, a Harry Potter fan, George Lippert, commercially published their fan fiction called James Potter and the Hall of Elders Crossing, which was centered around Harry Potter's son, James. Previously, J.K. Rowling had a very positive attitude towards fan fictions, and she actually threatened legal action. And there was a bit of uproar from the fans, so she just let it go ahead. And I am actually under the belief that you shouldn't be able to publish fan fiction, because people never do. And when people do publish fan fiction, which we'll get into in a second, people have to change a lot of identifying factors. So, obviously monetizing fan fictions is murky territory. I understand not being able to publish it unless you change details, like identify details, names, stuff like that. But also, I am not against if someone's writing a fan fiction and they put like a little Venmo button or like a PayPal button in their website, like for website costs. There has actually been, like, they've tried to monetize fan fictions in the past. They, like, the world has tried to monetize fan fictions in the past with the introduction of Kindle World. I haven't actually done my research for this, but I saw it in a Jenny Nicholson video essay. Basically, Kindle World was a place where authors could publish their fan fictions with the permission of the copyright holder. And there weren't a lot of authors that were on board with this, but one author that was on board with it was a book packaging company called Alloy Entertainment that owned Gossip Girl and Pretty Little Liars and also The Vampire Diaries. And the original author of The Vampire Diaries actually got fired, so she ended up publishing what she thought was her, like, her ending onto Kindle World as fan fiction. Bizarre. But before we talk about the actual published fan fictions, and I think there's, like, literally only two, Cassandra Clare, the author of the Mortal Instruments series, there's tea. There is tea about her because she used to be a fan fiction writer. And again, nothing wrong with oh my God, I didn't mean actual authors. That sounded really rude. But like published authors, like formally published authors, getting their start with fan fiction. Like, you know, like, there's no shame in it, obviously. I've just sat here and hyped up fan fiction for the past 2 hours. But Cassandra Clare is like a special case. So basically, there was like beef. And I've copied this from Reddit, so take it with a pinch of salt. All of this is alleged. Please don't sue me. So basically, Cassandra Clare was a BNF, which is like a big name fan. So basically, it's someone that's like popular in the fandom, like a fan that's popular in the fandom. And Cassandra Clare was like very well known for writing really good fan fiction, I think. But apparently there would be like a lot of problems with BNFs because it was very cliquey. They would start like beef with younger fans with less followers than them. And like all the BNFs knew each other. So they could like, you know, if one person got pissed off at a fan, they would all get pissed off about fans. And basically, Cassandra Clare wrote the Draco trilogy, which was, it was like a body swap alternate universe where Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy accidentally become entrapped in each other's minds and must learn to live as each other while also competing for Hermione Granger's heart. But there's like a lot of dreary subtext in there. So she published her first book, Draco Dormiens, and then she released her second book, where apparently she would use quotes from books that she actually liked and she wouldn't credit it. So there was like a lot of plagiarism accusations. And then an user actually reported her for plagiarism and her all of her work and account got taken down. Like, it was crazy. And basically, her friends were threatening legal action against other fans. And then she said that her stuff got put back up and she started crediting people. But then she said that her laptop had got stolen with like the final Draco book on it or something. And then she crowdfunded for new laptops and then never said that she like donated it to charity, but like never gave proof apparently. But the thing which got me was that she deleted all of her fan fiction after she published The Mortal Instruments. But she actually had a fan fiction called Mortal Instruments. So I've never watched The Mortal Instruments before, but this Redditor describes it as, the main characters in The Mortal Instruments are fake siblings who are in love with each other. And the main characters in Mortal Instruments are actual siblings who are in love with each other. It was a Ron / Ginny fan fiction. No. So I'm not going to stand that much longer, but there have been two fan fictions that have been published. 50 Shades of Grey, which is originally a Twilight BDSM fanfiction titled Master of the Universe by Snow Queen Ice Dragon. 50 Shades of Grey was written by E.L. James. And then we have, of course, After by Anna Todd. I'm not going to stay on this for too long because I have been recording for ages. But, I mean, I think you can publish fanfiction as long as you, like, change the names and stuff. And I don't know. I don't know whether 50 Shades of Grey is good because I've never read it. But I know that After by Anna Todd, the movies aren't that good. Like, at first they were so bad that they were good, and now they've spiraled into they're so bad they're just bad and boring. I can only describe it as like they're just a bunch of scenes compiled together. And I know that sounds like I'm talking about a movie, but like I swear I'm not. Like, it's an actual, the girls that get it, get it. And also the actors have absolutely no chemistry, God bless their souls. But yeah, sorry, I'm so out of breath and I really need to go. But thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Sorry, I'm so breathless, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Give it a little bit of love if you did. Follow, subscribe, whatever format you're watching it on, give it a bit of love because this has been so much fun, and I will see you guys in my next episode. Bye.